Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Busy week. Glad to stop and ponder some things this morning. And today we're going to ponder. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus is speaking. Look in verse 17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." Matthew 5:17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You ever felt like there were a lot of lists of do's and don'ts you had to live up to and you had to fulfill the requirements of? There are. And Jesus came to fulfill them. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot," that's a dot on an I, "or one tittle," cross of a T, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, the Ten Commandments are the most neglected part of the Bible. They really are. Those ten absolute statements of right and wrong are repeated throughout the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. In one form or another, the statements of right and wrong are repeated and elevated. Most people believe, "I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, I'm trying to be a good boy. I'm good. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments." But they can't even name three of them. Matter of fact, most Christians have this false notion that there is no law. They don't need the law anymore. It's no longer necessary. But that's rubbish. Jesus said it is very necessary. The law still got some requirements and fulfillments. If the law is gone, then everybody's going to heaven. And that's not true. The law is not gone. The law still convicts us of sin. Amen. Thank God for that. The law never saved anybody, but it is still very necessary. Without the law, no one would know that there's sin. So the law is still very necessary. So modern Christianity says, "Oh, that's the law. Of course it's the law." I mean, I'd like to see that person driving on the road at 180 kilometers an hour and a guard to pull them over if they're still alive. Guard rode over and says, "Did you know you broke the law?" "I don't believe in the law anymore." Yes, you do. You're just about to experience the long arm of the law. These laws of God were written for our benefit. They're not written. You know, we grew up. What do we think about our parents' rules? We imagined that our parents sat in bed at night going, "What new rule can we came up with today, tomorrow, and ruin their lives?" We imagined our parents came up with rules to ruin our lives. Remember that? Come on, nod your head. Well, God didn't write laws for His pleasure. He wrote them for our good. Not to save us from sin. No one ever is made perfect by the law. The purpose of the law is to humble us and to show us we need a Savior. We need somebody who could make up for all our failures. Amen. And God's laws are beneficial because they show us how to live. They show us how to treat each other. And they show us how to worship God the right way. Now, if no one else obeyed these laws, I don't care if they make it legal for homosexuality, I do care, but I don't care if they make it legal for homosexuals to marry, I don't care if they make it legal for people to, start slavery again, I don't care if they made laws that did anything that is against the law of God, I'm going to keep the law. I'm going to live by God's word. Listen to Matthew 4:4. Are you ready? "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Did God's words only start in Matthew? He went back and started back in the Old Testament in Genesis all the way through. So we've got to learn the purpose of these laws. Now, over the next few weeks and many weeks, we're going to be learning about morality. Learn what's right and wrong. We let the Creator of all things show us how to vote in this new referendum that's coming up which is only a joke. There's no freedom. There's no equality. It's sin. That's what it is. And it will only destroy this nation faster than it already is. But we'll talk about that later. Father, we bow before You and we ask that You would humble us. And Lord, stop us from thinking we're okay. Stop us from thinking that it doesn't matter how we live and what we think and what we say and what we look at. We know that those are rules. But we bought the lie of the devil and of our culture that rules don't matter anymore. Well, they sure do. Lord, we've become some of the most selfish, self-centered people on the planet because we've thrown away Your law. Nobody in this room can keep Your laws. Nobody in this room can live up to Your expectations. But that just shows how holy they are and how important they are to show us at least what are our goals and how we should live and how humble we should remain because we only fail. But because I fail, Father, don't let me get the idea that I don't need to try. Don't anybody in this room decide that because we fail, therefore I don't even need to follow Jesus. Because if I follow Jesus, and if I learn to walk in the Spirit, I'll fulfill the law. Lord, please change our minds, and through it all, change our lives through just the preaching of these messages on the Ten Commandments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Ten Commandments, as they were written in Exodus chapter 20, are very simple. He says these 10 things, and I'm going to summarize them if you probably have heard them, and they'll be different than some of you grew up. I'll talk about that in a few weeks. But the first commandment is have no other gods. That's three words. Three one-syllable words. Is that complicated? Actually, one of them's two syllables, sorry. No other gods. It's a very simple commandment, isn't it? Second commandment is have no idols at all. Third commandment is take God's name seriously. Matter of fact, if you're flipping about God's name, God says, I won't hold you guiltless. You say, well, I just say God. I just say Jesus. I just say, oh God. And it doesn't mean anything. God says, you're guilty. Take His name seriously. Why don't you use your own name? Oh, Craig. Don't use my name. You use your own name. Amen. Keep the Sabbath. We're going to learn about the Sabbath and real legalism. Honor thy father and thy mother. Is that a good idea? That's not an idea. That's a command. Amen. Sneaky Satan. Thou shalt not kill. Is that a good suggestion? It's a command. Thou shalt not steal. Hey, ladies, leave your purse here today. Go home. Come back. See if it's still here. It probably wouldn't be there. You know, we know that that is a valuable command. We wish everybody lived by it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that's got so much meaning. Obviously, we think it means only to lie, but it means don't talk and gossip and say anything that is false about somebody else. And then lastly, thou shalt not covet. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, we start off here, and we found out that the laws are God-given. God gave them. Moses didn't give them. All right? He didn't write them out. He didn't come up with them. He didn't dream them up. He just carried them back from the mountain and says, these are God's laws. And as I just said, they are good. And they are good. The only way to have a good world is and a good society is to have good laws. And the only source for good laws is God, not a referendum. These are God's design for government, for religion, for personal freedoms, and for a safe society. Now, ethics, morality comes from God. And really, that means that if something's wrong according to the Bible, it's wrong. If the Bible says something is right, like honoring your parents, then it's, help me out, right. That's where we get our morals from. These Ten Commandments are commandments, as we said. They were written with the very finger of God, and they have great, if not the, they have the highest authority. And they start with God. You know, these commandments talk to us, and don't start, they don't start with thou shalt not kill. They don't start with honor thy father and mother. They start with have no other gods before me. So they start with God, which is a good place to start. By the way, church is not about us. We got here because of Jesus. We got here because God is worthy of worship. Amen. So, they tell us who God is. These commandments tell us who God is. They tell us how to treat Him, and they teach us how to treat others. Matter of fact, these 10 laws, Jesus summarized into 2 of them. What did He say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Kind of amazing. Now, last week, I began just on the first commandment. And He said, no, have no other gods. And we learn that there is no, there, we're not to have any other gods beside the Jehovah of the Bible. That doesn't mean that there are no other gods. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bible, you know that there's somebody called the God of this world. And He seeks worship, and He seeks your time, and He seeks your money, He seeks your attention. He doesn't care what religion you go to, as long as you're not worshiping the one true God, He's happy. As long as you, you know, there's tons of examples in the Bible where the Israelites tried to have God in this hip pocket and tried to have another God in that hip pocket. They tried to, you know, blend. They tried to diversify. They tried to accommodate. They tried to tolerate. God says, I will share my glory with no other being. So, we learned last week that there are many gods out there. But there's only one true God, amen. And He is not the God of Ireland. He's not the God of America. He's not the God of Russia. He's the God of Israel. So every time you see people mocking Netanyahu, and Netanyahu's not the most brilliant person on the planet, they mock Israel, and Israel has done a lot of stupid things, a lot of things I wouldn't do, amen, if I was in charge over there. But you don't mock the people that God has called His people. Matter of fact, if you want a blessing, bless them. That's a promise from the Word of God. Because God is the God first of Israel. And you know, the reason why I'm saved today is because I trust a Jewish Savior named Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. You know that, don't you? It's kind of revolutionary, isn't it? Jesus was a Jew. He's the only God that there is. And He's also the only Savior there is. Now we learned also that you must choose to never put any other authority ahead of God. Nothing. God wants to be known as the only God there is in your life, the only person that you obey. And the question is this. Most people worry about breaking the 6th, 7th, and 8th commandments. Do you remember what those were? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. And that's usually the only numbers they can remember. They worry about 6, 7, and 8, and they forget about number 1. Letting a God, a power, an authority be bigger than the God. Now this morning, we want to go back to Exodus chapter 20. We want to look at the second commandment. And I'm telling you, if there's anything I can tell, there is a battle for you to hear this. Because the devil would not like this scripture to be believed and feared and honored this morning. If you haven't felt it, I don't know what's wrong. I tell you, there's just something about when you start going through these commandments that the devil begins to fight, and you'll see it in your own heart this morning. That flesh, the Bible calls it, that rebellion will rise up because I'm going to name your God. I'm going to name your idol. And I might embarrass you. I might upset you. Get over it. Realize you need this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Look right here. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or even that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now this is actually just a continuation with the previous commandment. First commandment says, have no other gods. The second commandment is, have no idols of another god, and don't even have an idol of the true God. Somebody says, well, I'm just worshiping the true God. You can't worship the true God as an image. Most people in this room believe that they have no idols in their lives. If I asked you, do you have any idols in your life? You'd go, well, of course not. What we think of is a statue. By the way, that is not the Oscars. That is a real idol that the Oscars image was copied after. Even an atheist has a life filled with idols. Even the most intelligent people have a life and a heart full of idols. Do you know when Paul came to Athens, he walked around one of the most highly educated cities in the world of that day, and it says he saw the city was wholly, completely given over to idolatry. So intelligence doesn't make you free from idolatry. Wealth doesn't make you free from idolatry. Only Jesus makes you free from idolatry. Now what is an idol? Anything that dethrones, demotes, lowers God as He is and puts something else in His place. Let me give you an idol. Let's see. The only faith people I can use are Dan and Kathy. Come up here. You hope I'm right. Yes. All right. Now, Dan. Actually, why don't you come over here? Why am I doing that? You just come over here. I was moving three chairs. I come over here. All right. Sit there, Dan. Kathy. All right. Now, we need a buddy. Let's see. Tony, you're a buddy. Come over here. You're over here, Tony, birthday boy. All right. Now, you love this woman?
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. She your one and only?
Absolutely.
She's your love of your life.
Amen.
Amen. We're getting somewhere. Amen. Okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you might get upset here in a second. All right. Ready? Don't hit me. No. She is in the right place. He is a friend. He is a buddy. Right? He is somebody that Dan likes. You do like him, don't you?
I love him.
You love her. All right. Good. All right. Dan loves Kathy, but at any moment where Kathy has a need and it is priority, supposed to be priority in his life, and he says, you need to say these words, Kathy, could you swap places with Dan, with Tony, please?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Kathy, would you swap places with Tony, please?
All right, go ahead anyway. Go ahead anyway. Now, she has now you scoot over. She has now been demoted. They want to go bowling. Fishing?
Yeah.
They want to, I don't know, what would be something that you'd like, you know, not mountain climbing and golfing anymore.
But you know
what buddies do, okay? So This is just, you know, honey, go get busy doing something else. Now, this is a simple illustration of demoting somebody. Now, she may have a need. I've got things planned for me and my husband, but her husband says, I want to be with Tony and go have some fun. Thank you. You can all be seated now. Yeah, get back together. Amen. I should have worked on getting them back together. All right. We have the habit of kicking God off of His throne. If it's at all possible, we do it. What is today? Today is called the Lord's Day. And we kick Him off His throne and we call it, it's my day, don't we? It's my day off. It's my rest day. No, it's not. Amen? We have made another God and said, God, Would you move over, please? Anything that dethrones, takes them off of the place of preeminence in your life and replaces it with something else, is an idol. Anything you think that is like God is an idol. You know, the Egyptians looked at their pharaohs and they said, oh, he's like God. The Chinese emperors up until 1912 were all known as gods. The Roman emperors were called gods. The Japanese emperors up until World War II, Hirohito, was that his name? The last emperor there that was alive at the end of World War II, he unconditionally surrendered and he admitted, I am not a god. People elevate other people and they say, that's like God. In 300 AD, a woman began to be worshipped. This goddess and her worship spread throughout the Roman Catholic religion. Her name is Mary. She's been elevated to the place where she is like God. Let me read you a little book I picked up called Mary My Hope. By the way, I don't believe it. Mary My Hope, Prayers and Devotions to the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Dedicated to Mary Immaculate, Virgin Mother of God. That's a crazy thought. Let me go on here. Let me find this one part here. The aim of Mary My Hope, this book, is to bring souls closer to our Heavenly Mother Mary. Page after page. The faithful who devoutly offer some prayers in honor of the Nativity, listen, presentation, annunciation, visitation, expectation, purification, assumption, Immaculate Conception, not of Jesus, but of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary, at any season of the year with the intention to continue these prayers without interruption, are granted an indulgence of 5 years. Anytime you pray to Mary. Listen, anything that you make like God, listen, you do not pray to Mary because you're now made her like God. You understand? You do not rely on Mary. You do not trust in Mary. Because you've made her like God. Anything you make like God has become an idol. Anything you trust in more than God. Oh, now I'm going to come down where you live. Anything you trust more than God. Go to Psalm 52. You can leave Exodus. Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 7. Lo, this is the man that hath not God his strength, that hath not made God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his what? And he strengthened himself in his wickedness. A lot of people trust in their riches. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Psalm 118. Some people trust in riches. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118 and verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in. You've ever been let down by people? Don't look at your husband. You know you've been let down. You've had confidence in people and they've let you down. It is better to trust in the Lord, isn't it? Anytime you put confidence in people, you've made them into an idol. How about Psalm 20, verse 7? Psalm 20. Hey, where America's gone wrong. I mean, I'm no fan of American politics. I'm no fan of American money. I'm no fan of American society, folks. Let me tell you where America went wrong. America stopped trusting in God for protection, started trusting in our army, started trusting in their their smart bombs. And folks, let me tell you, they haven't won a war since the Korean War, and they still didn't win that one either. It was just a draw. Look at Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. And that's talking about armies of them. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We don't trust. Listen, if you trust in an army to protect this country, if there's a problem that comes against Ireland, like it has with the same-sex marriage referendum and with a constant attack to remove the prohibition against committing murder, mass murder against unborn children. But if there was an army coming against Ireland, you know what Irish need to do? Fall on their face before God and get right with God. Because there's no use in fighting until we've gotten right with God. Go to Proverbs 3, next book, Proverbs chapter 3. People trust in a lot of things besides God. Some people trust their doctor. Let me tell you better get a second opinion. Have you learned that yet? Don't trust your doctor. Oh, we need to cut that off. Can I get a second experience? Doctor says, oh, that's just extra organ. You don't need, that liver. You don't need your tonsils. You don't need. Folks, get a second opinion because you don't trust doctors. Don't trust lawyers. I hope you've learned that one. I haven't gotten there yet. Hold on. I'm on a roll. Anything that you trust more than God, if you go to your doctor and you've not prayed, I don't sit there and you say you got a broken arm. I'm just going to pray. Go ahead, man. You're going to hurt. Go to the doctor, but say, Lord, give me wisdom. Let me listen to that doctor. But if the doctor tells me to cut it off, I'm not obeying. The point is, folks, there's nothing wrong. Hey, your car breaks down. Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you pray? Ask God. God, you're trying to get my attention instead of always running to the mechanic. If your kids are constantly sick, instead of always going to the doctor, why don't you get on your face and say, Lord, is there something I'm doing wrong? Amen? You see, we trust the doctor and we forget about God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, folks. I won't even go to the bankers and the TDs. We'll just... Anything you trust that you trust more than God. Hey, let me mention your real God. You know who your real idol is? Yourself. You know what the word is? Idol. Idolatry. Idolatry is when you don't seek to do things God's way, but you're going to do them your way. You know how you know that you've got an idol of yourself? Check how quickly you disagree with God. I don't do that. I don't agree with that. You have an idol. It's called you. The worship of self is the ultimate idolatry. You protect how you feel. You protect how you've grown up. You protect you instead of letting God tear you down. You know why people don't get saved? Because when God comes and He tries to take the rug out from under you, you hold on to the rug. When God tries to humble you and let you realize you're going to hell, and you go, I'm not that bad. You're protecting you, the idol of yourself. Somebody hands you a King James Bible and you look at it and you go, I don't like this. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't speak to me. It's because you're too big. You need to dethrone you and let God be in charge. Anything you love more than God. Deuteronomy 6 in verse 5, we don't have to go there, you know it. The commandment is, love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Hey, if you love anything or anyone, Dan, I know you love Kathy, but I also know you love God more. Amen. And Kathy doesn't mind, does she? Amen. Amen. See, when you try to say, I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my job, I love my house, and God, I love you later on. What have you done? You've collected idols. And I guarantee you one thing, you will run out of love for them. You'll want to kill your wife. You'll want to run over the kids. You'll carry the shovel with you. Bury them in the back garden. Because your love will run out
if you don't put God first.
Anytime you love anything more, you say, you're telling me I shouldn't love little Johnny. You know why Johnny is such a spoiled brat? Because you love him more than love God. If little Johnny needs, if Johnny will learn, you know, mommy's in church, mommy's reading her Bible, mommy's singing in church, I'm not going to cross her. He'll learn that when she knows, when she says, God, you're first, that kid is second, or third or fourth, depending on where he's at. Folks, anything that you love more than God has become an idol in your life. Yeah, I just can't make it to church every week. Idolater! Amen! These are the Ten Commandments, aren't they? They're not the Ten Blessings. They're not the Ten Beatitudes. They're the rough stuff. Anything you obey more than God. An idol in your life is anything that you obey over God's commands. Like your belly. Spoiled brats, are you ready? Are those who live for themselves. They live to eat. They live to sleep. They're spoiled because they're idolatrous of what they want. Because they obey. They go, well, Pastor, it's 12 o'clock. I'm out of here, man. I'm gone. Idolater. I'm starving, man. Idolater. Anything that you obey more than God, like your lust. Some of you can't go home without thinking about turning on that television. You can't go home and have a day without the TV on. Who's going to get quiet? Some of you can't stay up. Some of you can't, at night, can't help but turn on your internet and go down to the pornography because you love something more than you love God. You say, I just can't help it. You love it, you stinking liar. You love it. And you obey it. He's calling you. And you obey it, and God's trying to call you into mission. God's trying to call you into church planting. God's trying to call you to be a Sunday school teacher. God's trying to call you to be a godly woman or a godly man or a godly husband or a godly wife or a godly soul winner. God's calling and you say, but I love this. Yeah, you do. Anything you obey more than God is an idol. Like your friend. You don't go to that. You go to that church? No. My mom makes me. You're 47 years old. You know, the government made a law one day back there in Daniel chapter 3 where everybody in the country had to bow down before a huge idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. This thing's 60 some odd feet tall. Everybody at the sound of music had to fall. There were only, are you listening? Only three who said, we will not bow. If the government made a law that you cannot meet in church on Sunday, cannot gather in church on Sunday, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be in church. I'm going to find some way to meet with other believers and open that Bible, preach to them, pray with them, and then run. Amen. Folks, anything that you obey, what did Peter say? Now, that's not that you don't obey the government. Well, the government tells me what is right to do, and most of the time they do tell us what's right to do. But as soon as they cross God, somebody comes in and says, me and my partner love each other, Steve and John. And we want you to marry us. I will not bow. Amen. I will not bow. If I did bow, if I did say, oh, listen, we want everybody to know that God loves them. Yeah, God loves them, but he's trying to save them. And man, I'd witness to him. I'd tell him I can't do it. And I don't, folks, let me tell you, it's not that far off either. And if I decided I need to obey the government, well, the government, and this is what Christians are. Christians say, in these few referendums we're going to legalize, the government, is going to legalize drugs, going to legalize cannabis, going to legalize and make it so that this society, this generation's most drugged up, sexed up, drunk culture in the history of Ireland. And a Christian will say, well, it's legal. It's legal. You know what people say? People say, it's legal to drink. Of course it's legal to drink. But a Christian doesn't drink. We don't do what everybody else does. We don't do because we live by a higher law. Amen? They can't stop pornography I stopped it! Amen. Because I fear God. It doesn't come into my home. Amen? Shouldn't come into your home because you live, not because it's legal, by the world standards, I don't obey the government. Matter of fact, Peter stood before the government of his day and he says, we ought to obey God rather than men. If you obey anything other than, more than God, you have an idol. Anything made with men's hands that you bow down to, it said there in Exodus chapter 20, it says, don't make any kind of graven, engraved image that you bow down to it. Anything that you make that you actually worship instead of the God in heaven. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him only in spirit and in truth, not in physical objects. If we sat outside, if we didn't have this building and we were meeting in the park, would it be okay? Of course it would be. Well, where's the stained glass window? Where's the holy altar? Where's the crucifix? They're not needed. Folks, anything that you make, and that's why we're very careful. Is there anybody on this cross? The moment somebody comes by and bows before this cross, I'll take it down. Because you're not to have an image that is bowed down to. Now, I've been in some houses where some folks have pictures. We have pictures of our family trying to update them. We have some very old pictures we're trying to update. And so there's nothing wrong with having pictures. Nothing wrong with if your kid... One day I made for my dad. My mom was teaching us how to mold and how to make heads. We were not cannibals. And so I was making this bust of a head, and I'm squeezing, I'm putting the eyes in, you know, making the mouth and the smile and doing the hair. And I turn it around. My mom says, "Who's that, Dad?" And I remember this. She said, "Oh, that's so good. That's just like him." Anyway, so she put it in the kiln. She made it all so it would last forever. She put it on one of the tables there. And I mean, to this day, I think she still got it when we passed by. But it'd be awful. It'd be awful if every day my mom would pass by and she'd go. And she'd bow before that image, folks. That's just a clay figure. But if you make it so that somebody bows down to it, it becomes an idol. You got to be careful about what you have in your home. Be careful about what people have made that you so worship. Listen, if anybody accomplished anything, guess what it is? Dust. I mean, if somebody built a 400-foot building here in Cork, and I mean, it attracted all the most wealthiest people, Bill Gates and Mr. Soros and all of these crazy super wealthy sheiks from Saudi Arabia and stuff, and they all lived in these apartments in this huge building in Cork. You know what the owner would do? Pretty good, isn't it? And everybody go, ooh, ooh. It's dirt. Anything that you make has potential to become God. Especially when it's bowed down to. Anything you take care of as this is alive. We'll come back to this. Go back to Psalm 115. In verse 4. Psalm 115 in verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in idols. Anything that you take care of like it is alive is an idol. You know, one of these days, go to Isaiah 46. One of these days, you're going to be faced. Right now, you may be doing fine. Your job may be great. Your family may be great. Your health may be great. But one of these days, if you're trusting in your good eating habit, if you're trusting in your good job, if you're trusting in the health of your family, and you're trusting in the niceness of your neighbors, one of these days you'll be tested. And God's going to ask you this in Isaiah chapter 46, in verse 6. They lavish gold out of the bag. They weigh silver in the balance. Even hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him in his place, and he standeth. Wow, look at him standing there. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Let me tell you, right now things are fine. You may love your job. You may be being taken care of by your job. You may be taken care of by your husband. You may be being taken care of by your neighbors. And everything going fine, but one of these days you're going to turn to them and they cannot help you. And they will fail you. And that's when you'll know you've made an idol out of them. And you got to be careful. When people let you down, I'll be real clear. Are you ready? Because you've let them up too high. God will never let you down. If people are constantly letting you down, are you ready? Because you put them up too high. Because that's all we do. We cannot save anybody. Anything that you take care of, like it's God, like it's alive, and you carry it through your life. I mean, I just list a few of them. You know what that is? That is actually part of the Buddhist reincarnation series. Oh, what's that? That's Mary being worshipped. What's that? Scary. It's over in Cambodia. You know who those are? Horus and Thoth and Ra and Amun and Anubis and Osiris and Isis. You know who those are? Egyptian guys. Oh. What's he doing? There are plenty of idols today, folks. In old days, people worshiped just about everything. If it thundered, they go, oh, let's pray to the God of thunder. People worshiped rain. They worshiped fertility. They worshiped the sun, the moon, stars, rocks, trees. They worshiped great warriors and leaders. They worshiped earthquakes and solar eclipses. They made gods out of whatever they could imagine, out of gold and silver, brass and wood. Yet in the 21st century, we still have religions full of idols and false gods and false hopes. Catholicism has its tens of thousands of images. Ancestor worship. Buddhists also have all their images you saw. But if you noticed, the Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You ever notice that wafer that priest holds up? It's engraved. It's engraved. And what does everybody do before? They bow before. It's an idol. It is not the body of Christ. Today's culture, as atheistic as it claims to be, is so full of idols. We basically have a culture that is full of everything except God. Let me hold here. Music is an idol to a lot of people. Music is an idol. You cannot take their music away. Their music is their life. They can't just sit still. They can't just have a normal conversation because they're addicted to their music, to the musician. The Oscar Award, I think that's an idol. Don't you agree? People kill to get that little statue. What they want is men's praise. How about Britain's Got Talent? How about money? How many people have sacrificed their life for just a little more? Science and smartness and education have taken the place of God. People worship the feet of Richard Dawkins. They worship the places where Stephen Hawking has been. They would worship his wheelchair when he's gone. Self-worth is an idol. All the books, you go to Easton's, what are 20 feet of books filled with? You can help yourself. You can quit. You can do this. You're a success. You are awesome. Self-worth is an idol. Sports. Listen, God said his people have no idols, no images of God, no gods at all. The world doesn't need any idols of any deity at all, neither of God himself. People collect those things. I've been in people's homes and they have bottles that go back decades. Oh man, I remember when I drank that thing. Okay. They have rows of little bottles on the top of their hutch there, a little bit of different beers. I can't wait to try one of those. Oh, what if you had that thing? Some of you guys are drooling. Yeah, some of you do that every Monday morning. Oh, great one. How shall I serve thee today? Just give me a raise. That's the Oscar. Britain's Got Talent. Oh, you didn't think of that one, did you? Some of you boys are pretty boys. You'll spend more time in front of a mirror than a girl does. Ask yourself, what am I doing? You're worshiping. Oh man, some girl's going to fall for this mug. Oh, today. They're idols, folks. They're not just life. It's what we've allowed into our life now. We think it's normal. We have no time for God. We have so little love for God. We don't even obey God. When the preaching goes forth and the plea goes forth and says, will you go? Will you pray? Will you come and be a part of a church? You go, I'm busy. No, you're in the bondage of idolatry. Yeah. That's the truth. That's the truth. I know, that's not up there far enough. How many guys have sold out a Sunday morning so they could play in a match? How many people have sold out a Sunday night so they could watch some stupid Coronation Street or EastEnders or West Benders or North, or what's that? Dad. I never watched it, amen. I don't know. What's your idol? If I came in your house and there's an idol of a cow, how would you take it? Oh, Pastor, it's just normal. Don't touch it now. Do you know, Christians have always preached loudly against breaking this commandment. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 26. See, a lot of people think that the Ten Commandments are not for today. You know where Paul went? Paul went everywhere and said, idols are wrong. Amen. Acts chapter 19, verse 26. Moreover, ye see, now this is a man speaking about the apostles, especially about Paul preaching, and he says, moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul, and he's upset. He is mocking Paul. This Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So when Paul went, you know what he said? Keep the second commandment. Amen. He preached the commandment. He preached, you have an idol in your home, you bow down to that idol, you are violating God's law. Amen. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Brother Dan, maybe our Christian churches are filled with idols simply because we haven't preached against them enough. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm evaluating my own life. And it's a scary thing because you think, oh, I'm fine. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members, put it to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, talking about your earthly, your body, anything, any lust or anything in your flesh, fornication. Should you tolerate that in your life? No, uncleanness, that's mental uncleanness. Inordinate affection, that's things, loving things that you shouldn't love. Evil concupiscence, and you should get rid of covetousness, which is idolatry. He's preaching against idolatry. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just over a few more pages, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen? You know, we preach, and we're supposed to preach, against breaking this commandment because idolatry makes people just like the idol. Did you notice that phrase where we read there in Psalm 115? It says, eyes have they, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. Hands have they, but they handle not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Remember that? You know what the last verse says, verse 8? They that make them are like unto the idol. You know why this world is so hard, so thick-headed, so stone-faced, so stony-hearted? Because they're full of idols. They're like their idols. They are just like the idols. You know, this generation doesn't see anything eternal. They don't say anything wholesome or helpful. They can't hear God. I can preach with all my heart. And everybody goes, I didn't get anything out of it. Folks, it's not because I didn't give it. If you go out of here the same way as you came in, it's not because I didn't do my best. It's not because it's not in the book. It's because you can't hear. You can't hear. It's because there's some idol that you have become like. It has deadened you. Your television has made it so that you can't read the Bible and get anything out of it. Your music that you pile on and you listen for 6 hours a day has made you so numb. You're like an idol, a stone statue. Nothing moves you. Except the next rock concert, O2, oxygen. Blah. Idolatry. The reason why we need this message is because we're becoming like the idols of this generation. And the idols of this generation has made sex the most important thing, has made money, has made happiness, has made girls and guys and houses and land, has made all those things more important than God. And we wonder, why aren't we close to God? Because you become just like what you worship. Because idolatry is a damning sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go back to the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, what's the second one? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, there they are, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Wow! Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Hey, we're all in there. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, you want to live that way? You will die that way. It will damn your soul. Ephesians 5, go to the right. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ephesians 5:5. For this ye know, you already know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, not just physically unclean, we're not talking about bath, we're talking about mental, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. In verse 8. You know who ends up in the lake of fire? Look at the list. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful. What sends most people to hell? They're afraid to come out. They let the homosexuals come out. They let every type of perverted sin march in the parade. And some of you are so scared you won't stand with other Christians and walk through a parade. Shame on you. Shame on you if you're too embarrassed to stand out there. When all the sin is out there, we need a light out there. Amen. But if you're afraid, well, I don't know what my mom will think if I got saved. I don't know what my friends will say. You'll go to hell because of your fear. What a stupid person you are. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. Oh, the murderers, they deserve their. Oh, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, I wish I could scare you. I wish I could make you realize idolatry damns people. People are, they're so religious, but they're so lost, folks. And you don't need to go into their house and go, this is wicked! Talk about in your home, your life, before you can ever help anybody else, you better look around and see what kind of idols are in your home, in your life. It could be damning your children. It could be damning your family. Because it is demonic. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. Anytime somebody goes into a church, goes into a temple, goes into a shrine, and they bow before that, and they give honor and homage to that image, to that idol, to that statue, watch what's really happening. 1 Corinthians, and this is not my opinion, this is God's word. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. What shall I say then? If the idol is anything? Or that which is idle and sacrificed to idols is anything? No, there's nothing. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, who are they sacrificing to? They sacrifice to devils and not to God. Oh, I'm honoring Mary. You're honoring a devil. Oh, I'm honoring Blessed John the Baptist. You're honoring a devil and not God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. I mean, you got to see the humor in that. And I really don't think you should have fellowship with devils. He's kind of being funny. Idolatry is demonic. If you've got, and I'm going to tell you this, you got some of those, if you've got statues in your house that you've collected and they're all religious, I'd ask you to say, what do your kids think of those things? Maybe you think nothing of them, but your kids may come there and they think there's power in them. They may be afraid of them. They may one day try to talk to him. You need to get rid of him. You got a little happy Buddha. You know what you need to do him? Make him unhappy. And chuck him. Amen. Got a white elephant? That's a bank. You got statues of Mary and Jesus. I'm going to tell you, get rid of him. Amen. Get rid of him. You say, well, I don't bow. Your kids will. Your neighbors will. You're causing somebody to fall and to be offended and to think that you're an idolater. It's demonic. I told God, I said, God, they're not going to like me today. Guys, idols will bring curses into your home because you bring demons in there. And it always destroys entire nations. All you have to do is look at Israel and see every time they turned away from God, they went down. It always destroys a nation. Russia worship. You know what they did with Stalin? They lifted him up and they said, he is our God. Lenin, the philosophy of Lenin is God. The nation crumbled. Didn't even last 100 years. Because you cannot worship an idol and survive. It has always brought every nation to ruin. Do you know all third world nations are? Not atheists. You ready? They're idolaters. And they're kept in poverty by idolatry. And quickly, it's because it's cursed. Did you notice there in Exodus chapter 20? Go back there, will you? Let's try to wrap this thing up. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, to anything that's made, and nor serve them. Don't do anything for them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting this sin, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Your great, great grandchildren could reap from your idolatry. We know sexual sins. Are you listening? We know sexual abuse of children can affect generations. You accept that? We know that abuse, physical abuse in a home, where a father or a mother are abusive physically, it lasts for generations, doesn't it? We know that alcohol and drugs in a home where the parents are into drugs, if they don't get saved, the effect of that passes on for generations. You better accept that idolatry affects to the third and the fourth generation. It brings on a curse. Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And verse 17. They're cursed because God works against you. Devil doesn't even have to work against you. God works against you when you are trusting in anything but Him. Verse 17, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Idolatry's curse. What's idolatry like? You know what idolatry's like? I think I mentioned this last week, but I'll say it again. It's like getting married. Are you ready? Having a picture of your wife and loving the picture more than your wife. See, that's stupid. Of course it's stupid. Of course it's stupid. But you see, people would rather have a church full of statues than to have the one true God. Where Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together, I'm there. You don't need to go get an image of me. Amen? When you understand who God is and what He is, you don't lower Him down to an image. What is idolatry like? It's like getting married and collecting pictures of other women, putting it in your house all over, and your wife comes in and sees all that. What's she going to do? She'll break your neck, and then she'll kill you until you're dead. Because she would be jealous. Listen, God says, you say you love me and yet you have pictures of every other God. You have images of every other God. You have items of everything that you worship in your home. And you think, I'm going to come in there and be happy? Why is it cursed? Because it so offends God. You know, it doesn't even have to be. I don't have to have, listen, you know, I don't have to have a load of idols in my life. Like I don't have to have a load of pictures of other women. I just need one to be on death row. Say, Pastor, really, I don't have that many. I don't have that big of a problem with that. You got one idol in your home. You're in trouble. Amen? Amen. It's cursed, man. It brings trouble into our life. You know, it's like a woman who constantly is entertaining, constantly nice to everybody. Oh, hi. Oh, come on in. Oh, yes. Sit down, husband. I'll deal with you later. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just want to be sweet and wonderful, except to him. You know what that is? That's idolatry. That's putting other people before the one you married. Amen. Amen. And you know what it says there in Exodus chapter 20? He says there, are we there? No, we're not. It says, them that hate me. You know, if you do have idols, if you have anything else to do tonight than be at church, if you that you love, I'm not talking about the kids are sick or that you may have to go to work. You may have to. I'm not talking about where you volunteered. You may, the car may break down. I'm talking about if you have any other place to be than in church tonight, because that's today's the Lord's day all day. If you have any other place, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry here. Hold on. I know it's an idolatry. hate. Here we go. Hate. All right. The concept is if you say, I don't hate church. I love church. But don't ask me to go twice. My TV program's on. My only time to just sleep, you stinking liar. You sit in front of your iPad for 8 hours. You see, look. If you have anything else better to do than be in the Bible, be under preaching, out soul winning, living for God, spending time doing what God said do, obviously spending time with your family in a balanced way, everything all balanced, if that's not important to you, it's because you really hate God. You really don't like him telling you what to do. Amen. That's my problem. Pastor Mom, of course I do. My flesh says I want to do this, and God says do that, and I go, ow. Ow. It'll bring God's judgment upon you and your family for up to 4 generations if you don't deal with it. And it leads, lastly, to one big event. Now, that's supposed to be us preaching. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, and then Revelation. Just before Hebrews, it's 1 2 Timothy, just before Timothy, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We covered a lot of ground, I know. I tried to cut it all out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Somebody called the man of sin be revealed. He's the son of hell, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is even worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. Revelation 13, 13. And he doeth great wonders. Revelation 13, 13. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, this is yet future, that they should make an what? Ooh, there's our image. That's how not make an image. Why? Because there's somebody coming in the future who's going to be the image of all images, the Antichrist. Make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You know what Satan asked Jesus to do just once? When he was tempted, he said, all these kingdoms will I give thee, if thou wilt but fall down and worship me. Satan wants that worship that only God deserves. All idols, all idolatry, is actually a big sucking motion pulling people to where they can end up worshiping Satan and away from God. And the world's going for it. Do you agree? The world is being sucked right along and they'll even realize it. An idol has no place in the Christian's life. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17, it should be, I don't know which two. For some reason I got two verses. There's probably 16 and 17. It says, what communion hath light with darkness and idolatry with the temple of God? You know, you don't have to have idols sitting on your shelves in your home. They usually are sitting there in your heart. Look at Ezekiel 14. And we'll, like I said, finish. I'm trying. Ezekiel 14 and verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols, not in their homes, not in their workplaces, not in their streets, but where? In their heart. And they put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Should I answer their prayer? If you think you don't have any idols that you're harboring in your heart, let me ask you some questions. How slow are you to agree with God and to obey God? How long is it taking me to finally get you to where you say, I'm going to read my Bible every day? How slow are you to say, you know what, Pastor? You're right. I don't like it, but you're right. If you're quick, then you don't have an idol. If you're slow, it's because something's holding you back. See how little you openly worship and honor and praise God without embarrassment. Man, somebody else asked you, I love it. Yesterday I was at Tony's house and somebody said, how you doing, Craig? I said, better than I deserve. And they went, okay. Just, it was one of your nieces. And you know, they know I'm a Christian, but all of a sudden, what does that do? It treats that, hey, I am blessed. I didn't have to say something profound, but I just want to praise God. I'm not ashamed of worshiping Him. How ashamed are you? Everybody's at work and all they're talking about is their weekend. Why don't you talk about your weekend? Amen. Had a great church. Great church service. Man, you ought to come. I'll watch them throw stuff at you. Check how much hatred, envy, anger, how much lust, how much depression and frustration and envy is filling your heart. Those are the results of idolatry. If you do have any idols in your heart, let me tell you, you need to repent of having them. If that television is the first thing and the last thing you do every day, let me tell you need to realize it's an idol. If anything is more important to you than your walk with God, then you get rid of it. But it's a good thing. It doesn't matter if it's good or not. If it's stopping you from walking with God, if a bad attitude is stopping you from walking with God, you need to get rid of it. You need to flee from it. Three times in the Bible it says flee from idolatry. It means run from it. Be afraid of it. Then break it. Dump them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says casting down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge in the walk with Christ. Break them. Then replace them. See what Philippians chapter 2 says? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Amen. You know, at church, you ought to just let loose. You ought to enjoy worshiping God. Amen. Don't swing from the chandeliers. But folks, you do that at the sports. How come we don't have the same joy here? Replace idolatry with real worship. And then make sure you keep idols out of your home. The Bible even says very clearly, it says, abstain from idols. That means lock them out. They're not going to have a preeminence in your home. What goes on in your home? Somebody accused me earlier today and said, everything you said, you must have been listening to my conversations at home. Everything I'm doing, you're preaching against. I don't have a connection with the National Security Administration. Plug into your internet. Don't do that. Let me tell you this. God is very serious. Whatever's going on in your home, wouldn't it be nice to, when you start looking at things that are destroying your home, that you put it out and you keep it out? That you keep it out. Those are just the first two commandments. Have no other gods and no idols at all. The commandments are the most neglected part of the Bible, but they are for our benefit. They don't ruin our freedoms, folks. They can't save us from our sins. They won't make us perfect, but they will humble us and show us our need for Jesus Christ. And they show us how to live. Your invitation is to do this. Is anybody in this room this morning who admit that they've broken these first two commandments? See, I didn't ask you, did you commit murder? Didn't ask you that. Ask you, have you had another God that's more important to you than Jesus? Have you anything that is more important to you that you hold on to? Is there anybody ready or willing to stand before God's judgment for such sin? You say, well, God's not going to judge me for that sin. Are you kidding? Every idle word you say, you're going to have to give an account for. Would you not rather humble yourself and believe God has already made it possible to forgive you? At Christ, he says, Christ died for religious people as much as he did for filthy, rotten, wicked, apostate, pagan people. May let Jesus save you now. Father, I ask you, I know we've covered a lot of material. God, I know we're Europeans. We got our schedules. We got things we want to do. Lord, thou art worthy to have our last and best moment right now. That we would consider, God, we are lawbreakers. We have offended you by our flippancy in neglecting who you are. There may be plenty of people in this room who have not had one thought about God or the Lord Jesus all week long. And they never thought it was a bad thing. They never thought it was a big deal. They didn't go murder anybody. They didn't go steal anything. They just didn't give you any glory at all. Lord, we need to realize we've got a lot of idols in our homes and our lives, and especially in our hearts. And the way that we'll know that we have the idols in our hearts is when somebody knocks them over and we fight to put them back. Forgive us, Lord. And let somebody in this room say, my life's eat up with idolatry. I worship everything because I don't know what to worship. But I'm ready to get saved and to worship only the God of this book, only the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, please humble some people this morning. Save some families. Please clear out our homes. It's time for spring cleaning. Instead of just getting rid of the dust, let's get rid of some idols too. In Jesus' name, amen.